Hey everybody, before we get started with the podcast or video, just wanted to get you guys up to speed on a couple things that are gonna happen here. So before this sermon took place, we had the Moses Lake Medical Missions team come and be a part of our service. They shared testimonies. They talked about some of the things that God was doing. You're gonna hear me reference them multiple times in the message. I thought about just including it in the message, but the audio was a little rough and there was some issues with the video as well. So I decided not to. If you would like that, just go ahead and email me, gc@gcmoseslake.org, and I would be happy to send you that portion of the video. But what I wanted to just point out with the missions team is it's a group of people from our church, but also surrounding churches, and even a group of people from Chile who are going to Nigeria. They've been going for about 20 years. They've seen over 100,000 people, including people that are in really desperate situations over in Nigeria. And God has used them in powerful ways, both in bringing practical physicians' assistance to people and in meeting their spiritual needs as well. As we become a people that are generous with our resources, we want to be like that. We want to be people that are willing to both give and go to see the gospel advanced throughout the world. And that's what we're doing for Missions Month. And you're going to hear that as you listen to the sermon today. So I want to encourage you guys, be in prayer how you can give and how you can go in order to see the gospel advance. God bless you guys. Enjoy this message. We're just going to take a couple minutes right now to talk about why we give. A couple weeks ago, we introduced what we called our core values, but really, it's a statement of who we're becoming. And what we did was we did an examination of our congregation, and we asked ourselves, what are the qualities that we see in you guys that we want to replicate, that we want to continue to expand? And one of those is that we are generous with our resources. We see in like the missions team here, we see in other areas, we see how you guys are generous. We have a long track record. We're known throughout our network as a church that loves missions, that gives to missions, that goes on missions trips, and that's one of the ways that we are a generous people, and we want to continue that lineage. We want to continue that further into the future. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to talk a little bit, just for a couple minutes, about what it means to become generous. The truth is, we all want to be generous. We love shows like Extreme Home Makeover or shows like that because it showcases this idea of radical generosity. It showcases somebody that can't do something for themselves, but then somebody else steps in and they make a way for them. They do something that blesses their socks off, that completely floors them. And it's just so exciting to see when radical generosity happens. And we are a people like that, but sometimes it's hard to see it. You know, especially because the Bible tells us that we shouldn't make a big show when we give. We shouldn't make a big deal about it. And so we tend to, with good reason, we want to give anonymously. We want to give, but then what that does is it has the effect of nobody sees how generous we are. And so I just want to commend you guys. I've been looking at some different stats and things like that, and we have for our size of church, the budget that we have here is really healthy. It's really great, and it's a testament to your giving. We've got a kids and a youth ministry that is fully funded, that has all of the money they need, and it's because you guys give. We're able to do outreaches. We're able to be in the Spring Fest parade. We're able to go downtown to the trick or treat event in October, and it's because you guys give. We do things like the toy store, where we open up our building and we allow parents to come in and shop, and it's because of your giving. And all of these things, again, happen because you guys are already so generous. And what we want is we want to affirm that in you. And for those of you guys that haven't taken that step yet, we want to call you to come and be a part of this journey with us. We all want to be generous, but some of us struggle because, honestly,
we don't have enough to go around already. And so we look at our finances, we look at what we have, and we say, I don't have enough to give. For some of us, we're already deep in debt. And so Visa tells us that we can't give because we have to make our monthly payment. For some of us in here, we're underwater in our mortgage. We're struggling just to make ends meet. And because of that, we feel this tension. Like, I feel like God might want me to give, but I can't because of X, Y, and Z. And for some of us in here, we give then when something moves us. We see a medical missions team. We're like, okay, I'm going to give to that. Or we hear about the toy store, and so we're like, I'm going to give to that opportunity. Or somebody from, you know, World Vision or Compassion International comes in, and they show you a picture, and you're like, okay, well, I can give to support that need. But it's not a regular part of who we are. And I believe that the Bible tells us and teaches us that we need to be a people who are consistently generous, who are regularly giving, not because the church needs it, not because God needs it, certainly not, but because it affects us and it helps us as we partner together to see the gospel go to the ends of the earth. So the first and most important thing for us to know then is that we are generous with our resources because God has been generous to us. We are generous with our resources because God has been generous to us. We know that God doesn't need our money, but money is a key to our heart. And we see in the gospel that money is one of these identifiers of where our heart is. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So if you want to know where your heart is, you can look at your treasure and you can see how God is affecting your heart. So today we're going to talk just really quick about a couple reasons why we should be generous with our resources. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, and it says this. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. If you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me quote this small section of scripture right here. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. In other words, don't give because you feel guilty. Instead, he says, God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Everybody say the word all. In all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Paul compares generosity here to sowing seeds, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we spent 6 weeks earlier this year talking through what it means to sow seeds. But he says, as you give, it's a seed that you plant in the ground, and when you plant seeds sparingly, you reap sparingly, but when you plant seeds generously, you reap generously. This doesn't mean that giving is some sort of a magic formula. It's not designed to make you rich, but giving changes our hearts. And when we give generously, it does something inside of us that turns us into a different people. It affects the way that we live our lives. And Paul gives us then four things. I'm going to go through these really quick, but four ways that generosity transforms us. The first one is simply that giving helps to master a selfish heart. Giving helps to master a selfish heart. When we sow sparingly, it's because we're trying to hold on to what we have. We do the minimum because we don't really trust God to take care of us. And so if you imagine a farmer going out into his field and he's saying to himself, well, I need to hold some back because I want to make sure that I have enough. So I have this amount of seed here, but I'm only going to spread half of it. I'm only going to spread a small amount of it because I want to make sure that I have enough. Well, if you were ever talking to that farmer and trying to give them advice, you would let them know that seed spread multiplies, but seed that you hang on to is only that amount. And it's the same way with our giving. And so just in the same way that weeds can choke out a harvest, selfishness chokes out that generosity inside of us. The next thing. So first thing, giving helps to master a selfish heart. Number two, giving heals a fearful heart. Giving heals a fearful heart. Because we see in this passage the contrast between selfishness and cheerfulness. He says that God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give because you're feeling like you should, because you see the other people around you that are giving. Don't give because you feel guilty, because you haven't given yet. So don't give for those reasons. But he said, instead, God loves a cheerful giver. And this is why we want to give, because often the reasons that we don't give are fear. It's because when we see a certain amount in our bank account, we assume that we're safe. We assume that we have what we need. We assume that we're taken care of. But when we give, we're saying, God, I trust you. And so giving helps to heal that fearful heart inside of us. When we take those steps, we give a little bit. And I would encourage you guys, and I will in just a couple minutes. But if you can't give 10% right now, and if you can't give regularly, that's fine. The Bible says to test the Lord in this. And as we test him, as we take a step, you give what you're able to, then you see God come through for you. It helps to heal that because you're learning to trust God more. Giving helps to master a selfish heart. Giving helps to heal a fearful heart. Now, next thing, giving grows a generous heart. Giving grows a generous heart. The more we plant, the more that our hearts expand. The more that we become like Jesus in our giving, because God, like I said, is a generous God who gives good gifts to his children. And so the more that we give, the more our hearts begin to align to Jesus. Proverbs 11 says it like this. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And the last point today, giving helps us to develop a grateful heart. When we recognize that everything that we have is from God, and when we start to align our finances that way, we start to say to ourselves, not God is asking me for 10%, but God is allowing me to keep 90. God is allowing me to hold on to this amount that I can steward it well, because it's not about what I get. And so often our mindset is what comes to me is for me to consume. And instead we need to change our mindset to say what comes to me is for me to shepherd. It's for me to steward. It's for me to control so that I can please my master with the things that I've been given. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage, I want to challenge you guys with something today. And that is, we're gonna take a look at our finances. We're going to take a look at this, and we're going to ask ourselves, if you haven't yet taken the step to give, what I want you to do is just to prayerfully consider this month giving towards missions. Okay? It's not about the church. It's not that the church needs your money. But I believe that as you give, God starts to align your heart to his heart. And you start to become more like him through your giving. And so what I want you to do is I see there being kind of four levels or four stages of giving that people go through. The first one is that emotional component. I hear a story. I see a need. And so I give in order to support that need. And that's great, man. If that's where you are, I want to encourage you to lean into that, to look for more opportunities to be able to give. The second stage then would be to move from an emotional giver to a regular giver. And God's going to drop in your heart an amount, because one of the things that we see is that as you're more consistent with it and as it becomes a part of your routine, that's when God really starts to stretch you and really starts to change you. It's not I'm just going to give $25 in the moment when I'm feeling it, but instead I'm going to give on purpose. I'm going to give because this is something that God has called me to do. And that's when we really start to see that change of heart that God has for us. So regular giving. The next one then is percentage giving. This is where we start to look at our finances instead of just saying, let me give what I can. We start to purpose in our hearts, God, I'm going to give you 5%, 7%, 10%. We see 10% as kind of being the standard that God calls us to. And I know that there are a lot of people in this room that would testify that they can do way more with 90%. They do way more with 90% than they ever were able to do with 100% on their own, because they see how God has blessed them and come through for them in different ways. And so we want to move from being a regular giver then to being a percentage giver. And then the next step on top of that is to be an extravagant giver. And we see people in this congregation, and this is, you know, the genesis of this core value that says we are a people that are generous with our resources, because we see it in you guys. And we see you guys who are giving above and beyond, and you give not just your 10%, but you give to missions and you give to support causes all over the world, because God has blessed you, and you know, and you've realized, and you've aligned your heart to say, because God has blessed me, now that didn't come just for me to consume, but that came that I might be a blessing to other people. And so those are kind of the four stages. Wherever you find yourself in that, I want to encourage you, what would it look like to take the next step? What would it look like to move from emotional giving to regular giving to percentage giving to extravagant giving? Wherever you're at along those lines, I want you to take your next step as you prayerfully look at your finances and ask God. Now, we don't want to, again, I don't even want to take an offering right now. One of the reasons why I shifted the offering to being before this is because I didn't want to guilt you into anything. I didn't want to convince you of anything in this moment. Instead, what I want you to do is I want you to go home and I want you to pray. I want you to take that faith promise card and use it as a tool to say, God, how do you want me to give? How do you want me to support your kingdom, to support the things that you're doing? And one of the things that we see is that giving is good for us, but also giving allows us to partner with our local church and with churches around the world and ministries around the world that are spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. And when we give, we join with other people to see the good news proclaimed all around the world. And that's why we give. That's why God has asked us to do this. It's not about supporting supporting a salary. It's not about keeping the lights on. It's that the gospel might be proclaimed and that the good news might go to the ends of the earth. So I'm gonna pray. We're gonna sing a worship song. What I want you guys to do is, while we sing, I want you to ask God, God, what would you have me give? Just start that conversation, start that dialogue with a question. And then this week, as you're praying, as you're looking at your finances, I want you to allow God to speak to you. And I want you to allow God to share with you what you could give. Next week, we're going to hear from a missionary who has moved back to the Seattle area, who is now planting a church for all of the people that she was ministering to in Indonesia have come to Seattle, and now she's going to minister to them here. I'm excited for you guys to get to hear from her and to get to hear how God is taking that work that they were doing and has brought it back to them. And it's an incredible story. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. But let me pray for you guys right now, and then let's join in together in worship and just asking God, what would you have me to give? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's at work right now. God, I know that this isn't a traditional message. This wasn't a traditional service. But God, I pray that you would use this, use the team, God, use the testimonies that we've heard, God. And God, I pray that your spirit would speak to us now, God, about what you would have us to give. Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.